Today on The News and Why It Matters, more information on the whistleblower and the Trump impeachment inquiry. And Beto wants to confiscate your guns. He has a really, really solid reason for why the government should basically take all of your weapons. Got a lot coming up. It starts right now. Welcome to The News and Why It Matters. Happy Friday. I feel like after this week, it only makes sense that we have our beer, except for Pat, because he's too good for us. But don't be fooled. I actually have a margarita in my cup. So we are ready. We are ready to go today. Stuberg here, Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed, and Josh Hammer from The Daily Wire.
Always a pleasure, Sarah. Studio.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
All right, so we want to thank our sponsor before we get into it, Relief Factor. Pat and I were just talking about Relief Factor before we started the show, and about how Relief Factor has worked for so many people here at the studio. It's worked for Glenn, it's worked for me, it's worked for Jason Buttrell, who was in the military and did a whole bunch of terrible things to his joints and his knees. So Relief Factor, if you have not tried it and you are one of millions of Americans, you just walk around in constant pain and you're like, well, this is life and I hate it and it sucks. Yeah, don't do that. Try Relief Factor. It's 100% drug-free. It targets the inflammation in your body, which oftentimes that's the root cause of your pain and you don't realize it. So
remember, kids, alcohol only takes away the pain for a short period of time.
So that's why you have to. That's why you have to keep drinking it.
Right, that's true. It might cause some other issues.
Nah.
If you drink that much, but I don't.
Nah.
Know about that.
Nah. Good nah. News. Prove it. Yeah. Prove it. If you're in pain, you can go to relieffactor.com. Try their 3-week quick start pack. 70% of the people who try that, they go on to keep ordering more. It's working for that many people, and it's only $19.95 to try it. So you can go to relieffactor.com, or you can call 800-500-8384. So now there is a new report out that the whistleblower, in fact, worked for the CIA. I know John Solomon was on with you guys on Glenn Beck radio program. Was it hour 3?
Mm-hmm.
If you guys missed it, go back and listen to hour 3 of the program, because it was really, really fascinating information that I do want you to walk us through. But Josh, you haven't been here. We haven't talked to you since all of this circus has struck. As an attorney, what are your thoughts on all of this dog and pony show and the Trump impeachment inquiry over this phone call?
Yeah, wow, dog and pony show is the right way to describe it, right? So there's actually a really nice legal blog I'd recommend it to the viewers of this podcast called Legal Insurrection. There's a guy named William Jacobson, who's a Cornell law professor who blogs there. It's great stuff. So he had a very nice post on this, I thought. This complaint is clearly written by a lawyer. The whistleblower, him or herself, may or may not have a legal background, but this was clearly done with the help of attorneys. It is heavily footnoted. It is making constant references to statutes, executive orders. It reads very much like a legal document. So that implies to me, my best guess is that this person is probably not a lawyer by training. It's possible, but like I know enough IC folks just to know that, like, that's not necessarily your typical background. Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to get is this person had help. And really my ultimate conclusion, taking this a couple steps further, I was resistant in 2016 to a lot of talk of deep state. You know, I try to avoid conspiracy theories. I didn't like all this conspiratorial talk. The deep state is real. I mean, the sheer number of leaks from this administration that we have seen since January 2017, really. Obviously, there was a phone call with the Australian prime minister that got leaked. There's all sorts of stuff that have gotten leaked. This is the clearest indication, though. And it goes both ways, okay? The IC is not just at war against Trump. Trump has been kind of in a state of war against the IC really ever since the Comey fiasco started, okay? Yes. So it goes both ways. But the deep state is real. I mean, Ted Cruz got in flack last month for tweeting out the deep state. People were like, oh, Ted Cruz has gotten all Trump being conspiratorial. No, Ted was right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this whole fiasco proves it. And honestly, the conclusion that the aforementioned William Jacobson had in the Legal Insurrection blog post, which I think is totally spot on, he said that if there is essentially a conspiracy emanating from within the deep state to take down the president, and that is just going to undermine all sorts of trust between the White House and the intelligence community, that is a far, far bigger problem than the president of the United States asking for help in perhaps slightly inappropriate fashion to investigate 2016 nonsense with an ally. And Ukraine is an ally. So that is the big story here, and it's a mess. It is properly taking up headlines because the country cannot properly function with an intelligence community and a White House that are just butting heads at one another. That's not good. Not good for anyone.
Yeah, Stu, I feel like if we found maybe a different name to call it, like not deep state, then everyone would be on board. It's just the messaging of saying deep state, you're automatically labeled some sort of conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, I think what happened with that, and because Glenn was saying it today too, same thing, and it's. It got the term got grabbed by people without this information. Mm-hmm. And it's like the globalist has the same problem, right? Like there are certain parts of globalism that are really bad, right? Like losing your sovereignty is really bad. The idea that, you know, you see this with a lot of the Brexit conversations. You saw this going back to Bush and the treaties that he, you know, that were in place when he was talking about, you know, people from other countries coming in, murder suspects in our country, and how we dealt with those. And it seemed like we were ceding our sovereignty in a lot of those interactions. And those things, when we were talking about globalism at that time in that context, it was a real problem. Now globalism means like you want to have any trade with China and you're a globalist. And it's like, well, now that term means nothing to me anymore. And I think that sort of happened to me with deep state. We did a special on this. Gosh, had to be the beginning of maybe 2018 when the deep state stuff was out there a lot. And he said, okay, the deep state, let me tell you the different kinds of it. Now, there's several different types of deep state. This crazy one over here, that is not real. There's not like some, crazy
Illuminati
room at the top of a tower where everyone's looking down and, it's the Illuminati's not a thing. Right. However, the State Department, being a bunch of unelected people in a bureaucracy who don't necessarily share the vision of the United States as the president, who don't like the president, who have done a lot of things. I mean, you know, go back to the New York Times op-ed, right, with the unnamed person there. All these things have been done to undermine his administration. And as much as you may like or dislike the administration, you still have to take your duty seriously. And if your duty is to not only it should be within the bounds of law and constitution, absolutely, but also to support the president's agenda. That is part of this deal. And we've seen so much leaking and other things to try to undermine that there is a version of the deep state that I think is real. It is just, it's not the Alex Jones part. And so it's hard to separate the actual words from that vision.
Yeah. Pat, what are your thoughts?
Did you just say the Illuminati's not a thing? Why don't you go Google Rothschild, okay? Yeah, Cadbury, the Mars family. Okay. All the candy people are deeply into this.
Okay.
I don't even like the shallow state, let alone the deep state. Maybe we should deal with that first and fix what's going on. I'm just so tired of the fact that no matter what was contained in this report or the phone conversation of the transcript, the Democrats were going to think it was the worst thing that's ever happened in this country. It's the biggest scandal that's ever happened. This is bigger than Watergate. And Republicans were all going to say, except for Ben Sasse, there's nothing to it. He's completely innocent. Now, I think it's closer to what the Republicans are saying, but I'm just so tired of it being so predictable, and everybody is just a partisan hack now.
Yeah, the misinformation is really strong in this particular one. Yeah. You've got lawmakers tweeting. I mean, AOC tweeted out that he confessed. Like, confessed to what? Asking about Biden? Sure, but was that a crime? Is that impeachable? No.
Yeah.
And then you have, Adam Schiff with his whole during the committee hearing when he introduced it and he gave this account of what actually was in the transcript when it was nothing of what was in the transcript.
He was doing satire from this committee in an official hearing.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, well, he claims he was doing satire, except he was very serious the entire time. He never laughed. He never cracked a smile.
His comedic
even if it was satire. That's a really inappropriate, really bad place for it.
Right. So,
really
we played it on the show yesterday. He just went through basically the Democrats' pipe dream of what they wanted Trump's conversation with Zelensky to be. And then when he was called on it, here's what he said.
As an aside, I want to mention that my colleague is right on both counts. It's not okay. But also, my summary of the president's call was meant to be at least part in parody.
At least
in part. You know, you got the one part that's parody. You got the other part that's just trying to crucify
this
guy for nothing.
It's the John Stewart defense, right? Oh, I was just kidding on all the things I was wrong on.
Isn't this below the integrity of the House Intelligence Committee?
Yes.
It's just astonishing.
Well, I mean, you go back, especially with Adam Schiff.
Yeah.
It's like, he's the one who said he had direct evidence that Trump colluded with Russia, and we still haven't seen that.
Yeah, I gotta be honest with you, Sarah. When I first read this transcript, it's like five pages. It's short. I literally just actually started bursting out laughing. Like, I really try hard not to be like a reflexive, like partisan hack defender of the president. I try to call it like I see it.
Yeah.
There's really nothing here. I mean, I think it's slightly inappropriate at the worst. But it's just Trump being Trump.
Exactly.
If you read the transcript, he's not even listening to Zelensky. He's like, it's literally like going one ear and right out the other. I mean, he's just like talking. It's just Trump.
It struck me as he was actually just reading notes.
Yeah.
Like, CrowdStrike, it's called. He even says that they call it CrowdStrike. What? Who's they? What are you talking about? It's not they call it CrowdStrike. Like, what? He seems like I've got these words and I'm just saying them. That's how it came off to me, at least as a transcript. Now, we didn't actually hear the call, and it's not an exact transcript.
But we know how Trump talks.
But that's how exactly. And I think all this stuff is priced in. Like, I think there is a little bit of it's a little icky, right? Like, one of the things we talked about with John Solomon today, and he was talking about it as it applied to Biden, but it goes for everybody, which is your job when you're doing these foreign relations is not just to avoid conflict of interest, but to avoid the appearance of conflict of interest. And so the president right there, I think, does a bad job. Like, I mean, of course, obviously, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to take it as an appearance of conflict of interest, even if it wasn't. I do think that, you know, the vice president potentially being involved in shady activities is in our national interest to find out if that's actually happening or
Absolutely.
Not. That's not nothing. And people like to just say, well, he's just trying to get information on his opponent. Well, no, this is not just his opponent. This is a guy who's vice president of the United States in a very key moment during all sorts of shady activity going on. But I think that there is that thing that everyone kept posting, like, and this is just a Rorschach test, and here's the blue dress. Is it the blue dress or the, you know, like, it's all those things. And, like, I know everybody at this table tries really hard to make sure you're not one of those people. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to look at those things. We criticize Trump on stuff all the time to the constant irritation of the audience.
I didn't vote for him.
Right, exactly.
Like, I did not vote for the guy.
Exactly. So, stepping back from that, you look at this, and it's like, there are elements of it I don't like. It's a little, it's not the greatest moment in any president's history, but I find it very difficult to separate it from Biden's actions. And I believe this stuff goes on all the time. You know, we've said over and over again, and, you know, we were one of the first shows doing all this Biden-Ukraine stuff, and we said over and over again when we talked about it, this is not necessarily a crime. This is, it's a little grotesque. And it's a big problem that we need to be rooting out of the government overall. But all of these influences when it comes to the government using their power to get things that they like done, that also happen to align with our interests most of the time because they're not idiots. Yeah. You know, like, that stuff needs to be rooted out, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we can just apply guilt. You see a lot of people on the right applying guilt to Biden and, oh, well, I believe Trump's best intentions. And the opposite happening with the media. Well, Trump, you know, Biden, that was a part of foreign policy. And then we go, let's take the negative outlook on Trump. You got to apply them all equally. Mm-hmm. And at least what we try to do.
And for Biden to say that every credible agency has looked into this and they all decided it was... Name one other than Glenn and Stu and the team here looking into it.
Yeah.
Name one agency. And for all those reporters to stand around and just soak it in and not say, really, Joe, who?
Right.
Who looked into it? Name one.
Well, John Solomon, who now has there were some secret memos that he now has that show more. I mean, there's evidence there to suggest that Biden was, in fact, pressuring them.
There's a lot of information there. And he has information from inside Burisma, which is the natural gas company in Ukraine, that Hunter Biden was working for. You know, and you kind of have to, it took him an hour to basically explain it. He can go to the Hill.
Yeah, don't
He's
take
got
an
it
hour,
there. No, I won't do that because people are already sick of me talking. One thing I thought, you know, was pretty interesting was, let me give you one main talking point that comes from the media and the left about the Biden story. And, you know, there, as you point out, almost nobody's covered it, especially in the mainstream media. The New York Times did do a write-up on it at one point. There's been The Hill, mainly John Solomon, has done it. There's been some reporting out there about it. But one of the main talking points from the Democrats is that Hunter Biden couldn't have been part of Biden's decision making, because at the time all this went down, you know, when he's saying, he's admitting on camera that he did these things, he withheld money, all the investigations were done and they were over on Burisma. And it's a good point. Like, it's like, if that's true, when I heard that initially, I was like, well, we got to check into that, because if that's true, it, the timeline doesn't really work on this.
Yeah.
As John uncovers here and has pointed out in extensive detail, there was one investigation that did end in 2015, and that's the one they always talk about. But there were two other additional investigations going on all the way up until the Trump administration and well into it. So I think up into mid-2016. So they were going on when Biden was there, when he had this big badass speech where he held back the money, for all that stuff. There were investigations going on, and that blows up a huge part of their narrative. Will they cover it? My guess is going to be no. But that is, it's true. It's out there.
All right. Back in a minute.
He's got all the documents. So yeah, you can go to the Hill. He's got them all, just all posted raw, too. You can go check it out or read it.
Before we get back into the conversation, we want to thank our sponsor, realestateagentsitrust.com. Thank you, Glenn, because it's Glenn's company. He started with his wife and his brother. And it's basically a matchmaking service. If you are, you know, you're looking to buy your house, you're looking to sell your house, you're looking to move from one location in the country and go relocate in a completely different place that you have no idea where are the, like, nice, you know, family homes, where are the houses that aren't next door to, like, drug dealers. You know, these are, like, the basic things that you need to know before you move to a new area.
We should also point out that this is far different than the matchmaking service Jeffy started, which was realestateagenthookups.net. Totally
very different
service.
Not affiliated.
Not affiliated at all. Do not go to that site.
That one will actually get you near the drug dealers.
Yes,
so
yes.
You don't want that one. You want realestateagentsitrust.com. They have already vetted these real estate agents to make sure they're the experts in their area. They do this full time. And most importantly, they share your values. So they're going to know where you and your family are going to be safe and where you guys are going to thrive. You got to go to realestateagentsitrust.com. They've got real estate agents all across the country. They have one where you are located. Realestateagentsitrust.com. So just to kind of wrap up how this is being spun by the left, you know, we spent this, the previous segment, Josh, you mentioned how this was basically a big fat nothing burger.
That's right.
Right? I mean, it's much ado about nothing. And yet we're still hearing these. I feel like it's more of a screech at this point, or like a squawk, whenever Nancy Pelosi or Maxine Waters or any one of the...
She does look like a bird, too.
She does.
I think it actually
I think
fits.
That's the facelifts, but I don't know.
She looks like a bird with a lot of plastic surgery.
Yes. Not a normal, not a natural bird.
A complete facelift, no. Yeah. Then, yeah.
A plastic bird. Here is what she had to say yesterday, Nancy Pelosi. You know, of course, hadn't read the actual transcript, had no knowledge, wanted to go full on impeachment inquiry. Here's what she had to say yesterday.
That they're set out to do, following the facts and the time that it takes to find the facts. As you know, you never know where we're going next. Now I think we're getting involved in the cover-up of the cover-up, and that may be something that will take some time to investigate.
Huh?
I don't.
First of all, they need to take time to get to the facts, which I would think should have taken place before you launch a formal impeachment inquiry.
Mm. Well, I guess the inquiry part of it, maybe they're we're going to find out if maybe there's something to impeach him over.
But the facts are on the piece of paper that's a transcript of the conversation.
Right. Congress has subpoena power. You probably, in proper order of things, should be subpoenaing witnesses before declaring you're going to do this. I mean, let alone the vote count. I mean, imagine if they try to do this and then enough Democrats defect and, like, she loses on the House floor. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about watching political suicide of a decades-long career in action. It would be kind of glorious. But she's talking about a cover-up there, Sarah?
Cover-up of a cover-up, yes.
There is no cover-up here, okay? The president he had every constitutional power in the world to claim executive privilege and keep this stuff from getting out to public. Mm-hmm. He didn't do that. Mm-hmm. He could have easily done that. That is well within his constitutional authority, as the Supreme Court has consistently interpreted executive privilege doctrine. He could have easily done that here, mm-hmm. and he chose not to.
Yeah, it's because one of the accusations here, which on its face seems somewhat convincing, is they moved this this document, this transcript, to a more high security thing, and it seemed out of place. And as the Times noted today, it was out of place in previous administrations. It's not really out of place here. And why? Well, one of the first two calls the guy had as president got leaked to the media. So, of course, he's terrified about these things being leaked. So that's a much more natural, normal practice within the Trump administration. And to your point, Josh, like, he does not need to release this stuff. What he's done is release it almost immediately as it became a story. Now, you can make an argument, and it may be true, that he just wanted to get out ahead of this. Look, the election. But by the time the election comes around, I mean, I can't even imagine we'll be talking about this anymore. Like, right. Get it out there. Let everybody digest it. We'll fight it as hard as we can, and it'll be gone. That may be true, and it may be smart strategy as well. But, I mean, look, you don't have to release it. He redacted small portions of the classified portion of this. Number one, he could have not released the classified portion at all. Number two, he could have redacted a lot more. He didn't redact a lot out of the Mueller report. I mean, he consistently has shown, like, look, here's everything. Just look at it. We all know how they're going to interpret it. Here's how we're going to interpret it. I think that's a smart thing for him to do. I don't see this as one of those cases where he's hiding it. He's telling you what it is. You've read it. Yeah. How can there be a cover-up?
Pat? Do you worry that the Botox has gotten to Nancy Pelosi?
I do, yeah. I think it's gone straight to her brain. Mm-hmm. And the commercials tell you that it can travel to different parts of your body, and it's dangerous if it does. And I think it's affected her.
Case in point.
It's affected her face. It's affected her thinking. Yeah, she needs to go home and rest, like permanently.
Like now?
Yeah, like forever. Just go back to San Francisco.
Just in a nice, comfortable, Craftmatic, adjustable
bed. Right back to her nice little home that's probably $30 million.
Yeah, but is emission-free.
Right, mm-hmm.
And then just to show how Trump derangement syndrome is in full effect in the mainstream media, the New York Times took their time to come up with, it's the most bizarre thing I've seen in a while. We only have a short clip of it, but here is what they came up with and posted on Twitter in regards to this whole Trump fiasco. Watch. And I will, of course, narrate for the podcast listeners. So it says, a long time coming for a White House far, far away. Doesn't make sense. Star Wars credits.
Trump, Star Wars sounded like Anthem.
Episode 45.
We do not have the rights for that.
The last straw. Chaos has engulfed the Republic for 3 years. Trump and his allies have ushered in the obliteration and moral norms for personal gain. But now the president has launched a fresh assault on fair elections, the crowning glory of American democracy. To restore some semblance of order to the universe, Nancy Pelosi has announced an official impeachment inquiry into the president's abuse of power in pressing a foreign government to investigate his political rival. While the Congress of the Republic scrambles, the citizens of the galaxy reflect on a few of Trump's previous actions. He divulged classified information to foreign officials. He publicly undermined American intelligence agents while standing next to a hostile foreign autocrat. He hired a national security advisor who knew he had secretly worked as a foreign lobbyist. It goes on and on and on.
That's
I'm not kidding.
The speed I have to read this real Star Wars thing every year.
I know. I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm losing it. I mean, there's another minute and a half of that. It just lists every single thing.
Like,
right?
if Huffington Post did it, I would laugh at them. The New York Times is doing this? What? The world's gone insane.
It really has. It really has.
I don't know the average, because I remember when I first started following politics, I don't know that I would have made the separation between the New York Times and the Huffington Post, because they both suck. Like, the New York Times does do legitimately good reporting at times.
Sometimes.
In fact, you know, they really are the only ones who in the mainstream media, who did anything on the Hunter Biden fiasco.
That's true.
And they actually did report some of the stuff. But then they do nonsense like this, and I don't know how you can't convince a conservative to take them seriously.
Incredible. All right, back in a minute.
Effed up it is.
Yeah. That was good. All
right. Pat, what happened on More on Trivia today?
We had Dallas versus New Orleans, and Dallas won.
Ah. Yes.
Because the Martin trivia is always right, unfortunately.
Yep.
Almost
yep.
always.
Yeah.
About 80% of the time.
Well, Drew Brees isn't playing, so I guess the typical Cowboys are able to just kind of get them. Well, without the Hall of Famer, well, we didn't need to play them.
Yeah, because your season's going great.
Hey, we're 500, baby. Up to 2-2. Exciting, exciting.
Yeah, just squeaked out that one last night.
Hey, we'll take it. We'll take it any way we can get it, honestly. after the last two games, which they were squeaked out against the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm happy to take the victory. Sorry, Pat.
What are you going to do?
Still 3-1.
Yeah.
Up next, enjoy bonus overtime content from the news and why it matters. Available exclusively for podcast listeners and Blaze TV subscribers. Not a subscriber? Start your free trial at blazetv.com.
I got these guys started talking football, and they just won't stop. They keep going. So our good friend Robert Francis O'Rourke, he was just at Kent State, of course, going full throttle on his gun buyback, gun confiscation. That's all he can talk about. But here's a little bit of what he had to say at Kent State yesterday.
It is not enough to stop selling AR-15s and AK-47s when there are more than 10 million of those potential instruments of terror. We must mandate that every single one of them be bought back home, off the streets, out of our lives. No longer a threat to every single one of us. None of us should face this terror. No one in El Paso, Texas should have to tell me, as they do all the time, that they're walking around with a target on their back.
They shouldn't walk
Nobody should
target.
Show up with one of these weapons off, to seek to intimidate us in our own democracy.
We're not a democracy, but thank you. We're not a democracy.
So to follow that up, he posted that video and he tweeted, let's see, what did he tweet? Yesterday, people brought assault weapons to our rally at Kent State, where four students were shot dead in 1970.
It's true.
I told them nobody should show up with an AK-47 or an AR-15 to seek to intimidate us in our own democracy. We need to buy back every single one of them. Is there anything wrong you can think of about
statement? No, there were four dead in Ohio. We heard that from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and it's true. It's true still today. Uh-huh. But who killed those four? Was it some crazy with an AR-15? Nope, there's a reason that the song says, Tin Soldiers and Nixon's Coming. It's because the government killed those four college students.
So what you're saying is we should definitely give our guns to the government because they always do really good things
they
guns.
Need them to use.
To kill us.
Okay. Yeah, that's amazing.
Two things real quick stand out to me. One is this point is kind of being a dead horse, but it really is worth reiterating because this point has to be made. When they talk about buying back the guns, that is a linguistic misnomer, okay? Yes. They never had our firearms to begin with. We literally own our guns, our ARs, our beautiful...
You didn't buy your gun from Robert Francis O'Rourke.
I did not buy my rifle from Robert Francis O'Rourke, Sarah. In fact, I have my rifle to protect me from petty would-be tyrants exactly like Robert Francis O'Rourke. So that is the first point needs to be made. The second point is, he's talking about, I think the exact quote was potential instruments of terror. According to the FBI's own statistics, this point just bears repeating as well. Yeah. Fewer people are killed every year with rifles of all variety, be they assault weapons or bolt action hunting rifles for deer or whatever, than they are with human fists, than they are with knives. So, I mean, is he trying to ban our fists? I mean, is he going to confiscate our kitchen knives? I mean, like, it's just total nonsense on stilts. But this guy is like on like the third or fourth life as candidacy. He's probably the single biggest joke in the field at this point. So I guess let him spew whatever he's spewing. He'll be out of here soon. But it's just crazy to watch.
Yeah.
I like the phrase compensate and confiscate. That's really what they're doing. They're giving you a little bit of cash, but in reality, what they're doing is confiscating your weapons. And Beto, like, I think actually taking out the ridiculousness of what he says, as a candidate, this is probably his only path right now. Like, he happened to, have a major news event in his city. He's trying to take advantage of it. He's going further than all the other candidates.
Did he not see how that went for Eric Swalwell?
Right, exactly. I mean, and it's, he's back up to 3 or 4% from 2%. But really, like, I think that's all the only place this goes. He's just not good. You know, we saw that here in Texas. You know, he was talked about because now this, a website that specializes in viral content, took one of his speeches and set it to edited it and set it to music and got it to go viral. He got a lot of positive attention. Well, that's not how these things actually work. When we were seeing him in debates with Cruz, we're like, this is the guy America's going crazy for? He sucks. And he's continued to suck the entire time he's run. And that's why you go, you get into a race at 15, and then it's 13, and then it's 11, and then it's 5. Now he's down to 2, and he's bounced back up to 4, and everyone's like, wow, ooh, here's the resurgence. That's sad.
And can we, for the love of Pete, take up a collection and get him a new shirt? Yeah. He wears that blue shirt every day. Get another shirt, at least, if we have to keep listening to him and watching him.
I think the thing that bothers me so much about this, too, is that it's just like context is just completely lost on the left. There's no context. There's no critical thinking. I mean, you think about what else we talked about in the show. We're talking about an impeachment inquiry over a telephone call that was about there's nothing there. Right. But people say, oh, well, CNN told me that Trump asked, do me a favor, and then asked about Joe Biden. And it's like, that's not what happened. There were a bunch of words in between that. Did you even read it? Yeah. Do you even, like, can you think for yourself at all? There's just no context included.
Well, it's really sad because there are real issues in this country. I mean, what's happening at the border has stemmed down, thankfully, a little bit over the past few months. But what's going on there still is still a huge issue. The economy.
You mean the concentration camps?
Yeah, exactly. The Nazi-style concentration camps, right? Exactly. Yeah. Obviously, what's going on globally with China, the ongoing tariff fiasco there, that obviously is Iran and Saudi Arabia. There are real issues that probably demand voters' attention right now. And you know, these clowns, both on the campaign trail and on the House Intelligence Committee alike, are just not focusing on it. But you know, that's their problem to deal with, I guess.
Well, I mean, it's ours too.
Yeah.
Because that's why I look, and I know, we said this yesterday, Stu, I shouldn't look at Twitter for, like, my representation of society, but I was on Twitter this morning, and I was just so discouraged, because I'm like, you're going to go to the voting booth thinking all of these things that aren't actually true, because you can't, you have no context whatsoever.
Sir, I was listening to, I think it was ABC, and they were talking about the whole, Ukraine situation, and they were recounting the conversation. They said, and then Trump says, I want you to look into Biden and his trying to manipulate a prosecution in Ukraine. And then the host, whoever it was, paused and said, and I just want to point out, there's no evidence that he actually went and influenced a prosecution in Ukraine. It's like, he's on video saying, I'm withholding money unless you fire this prosecutor. Like, you can say that it wasn't for the reasons that some of the people on the right believe it was for. But there is 100, there is ironclad evidence, unless, which is a plausible explanation, you just think Biden's making it up. That's possible that Joe's just lying. But he said it on camera in front of the Council of Foreign Relations.
Yeah.
And yet, to everybody who heard that podcast and doesn't know that story, there's no evidence supporting this crazy Trump claim.
Yeah.
And like, that's why people swim in. I mean, you've seen this from, I've seen this on, people on the left who are on Twitter, who are just tuning into Fox News to see how they're covering it. And they can't imagine this other alternative universe that these people are talking about. And I got to imagine the same thing's happening the other way. You know, you tune into mainstream coverage from Fox and you have no idea what's going on.
They just don't, though. They don't have access, or they don't tune into anything other than what's in their own little universe. And that's why the lemmings at Kent State are cheering when he says, we're going to take away their guns. We're going to confiscate. We're going to buy back. And that's why, Greta Thunberg, bless her heart, thinks what she does, that we're on the verge of extinction. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you should, they're not subjected to other people's points of view and other facts. And hey, have you ever seen this report? And by the way, who's telling you that we're on the brink of extinction? Because no legitimate scientist is saying that.
Yeah.
Nobody.
That Greta Thunberg thing
that's agonizing.
Oh, it makes me so mad.
Agonizing.
I mean, what kind of parents make their poor child who already suffers from OCD obsessed over the fact that she thinks she's going to die from climate change?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of
awful.
It's kind of wrote or tried, I should say, at this point to say this, but it really is child abuse what's happening to this poor girl. I feel genuinely bad for her.
Well, be careful, Josh, because I did a YouTube video and I called it that, and I have had the left just like death threats all over the place because I did say that this is child abuse, but you're right, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, you're a truth teller, Sarah. You're telling the truth. But you know what? To paraphrase on that Dennis Prager wrote in a column this week, with, you know, without air or without oxygen, there is no life. Without mass hysteria, there is no political left. I mean, Rahm Emanuel said you never let a good crisis go to waste. Mm-hmm. That's what O'Rourke is doing. He's embellishing, kind of manufacturing a crisis to justify what he already wants to do, which is confiscate your guns. For the EnviroStatists and the greenie radicals, it's the same thing. They're embellishing and they're manufacturing, so it's to justify what they already wanted to do, which is impose radical taxation, this Green New Deal, reshape the entire economy. These are the policies that they would have wanted to do no matter what the science or the purported science would tell them.
Yeah. Speaking of science, so apparently records kept by the Food and Drug Administration show that thousands of deaths are connected to a puberty-blocking drug that is being used to treat gender dysphoria in children. Mm. So it's called Lupron, and its main intent is to treat prostate cancer in men and endometriosis in women. It has not been approved by the FDA for the purpose of treating gender dysphoria, but it's being prescribed to children anyway, because why not just use our children as guinea pigs, right? Like,
what could go wrong?
We had them, so let's just use them as guinea pigs. The drug is clinically approved for use in children who have a condition causing them to go through puberty too early, and it's administered for a short time, and that's how it's approved, but apparently they've been prescribing it long-term.
Thousands of deaths is a lot. Like, is that thousands of deaths from people overall who've taken it, or have taken it for this purpose?
This says, since 2012, the FDA has recorded more than 40,000 adverse reactions. More than 25,000 of those reactions between 2014 and 2019 are considered serious, and 6,370 of those reactions have resulted in death.
There may be an argument. Right, if you're in the midst of a serious cancer, that you would risk this, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it might, you know, for the, but when it's mm-hmm. talking about children with gender issues, it's probably not going to be applicable.
Well, I mean, when you're looking at just the state of like the medical industry, right? Like, there are doctors prescribing this to children for long-term use, even mm-hmm. though that's not what it's supposed to be prescribed for.
Yeah. Well, as America's number one Sackler family defender, when it comes to the opioid crisis, it's one of those things where, like, they're like, oh, these Sacklers, like, they built this company, and now everyone's taking these opioids. They never wrote one prescription for opioids.
Right.
Never. Like, they're like, well, they advertise them. So?
Right.
You know what? McDonald's advertises lots of things to me. I do eat most of them, but some of them I don't. The point is that
the salads, you know.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Thank you. There's an individual choice that everyone likes to say, and I think it's a good point, in medical decisions should be made between you and your doctor. But, you know, look, there's going to be a lot of those decisions I don't like. And I think you could still be critical, especially when there's not actually a thing going on that's a disease. You know, we do a lot of things to our body when you're in the middle of cancer that may cause adverse side effects. On the other side of that, when you're talking about, she just likes to play sports
too much.
Like, that's not a good reason to give someone a dangerous medication.
It's terrifying. Yesterday's poll, do you think Trump's call with Ukraine is impeachable? 92% of you said no.
Thank you, audience. You're up to 8.
8%?
I want these polls to be like 50-50, so Sarah gets so pissed off.
8%? Come on, what is wrong with you people?
She wants it to be 0. Every time, and it's your job as an audience to not give this to
her. That's not true. And then today's poll, will impeachment backfire on the Democrats?
Didn't we do this one this week? I thought we did that one already.
I don't know. I don't write the poll questions. I just read them from a note card, because that's all I'm good for.
No, well, I agree. But still, no. I think, look, Nancy Pelosi, for all of her negatives, has relatively good political instincts.
But isn't it weird that she was
against it for so long?
Yeah.
Again, this transition, there's been some proposed explanations as to why, with no evidence, she's suddenly on the bandwagon for this. I still don't fully understand.
What are they?
From everything from they learned their lesson from Mueller. When you let something stretch out like that, people get bored of it and it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So maybe jump on it fast and people will go for it. Everything from that to, there were some people in purple districts who got on board, which gave her the maybe she wanted to do it the whole time, but was protecting those districts. Two, I mean, there's all, you know, you can go further and further, I guess, down the rabbit hole and try to figure out what this is. I think there's like I had mentioned the Biden one of like, I think in some ways this actually helps elevate Biden into a sort of a marquee battle. And maybe this is part of her defense in a way of going after not wanting an Elizabeth Warren. I think there's also an idea where what is in there for the Democrats when it comes to Ukraine and this meddling is so bad that it's a good idea for them to get out and attack it. So it seems like a he said, she said, seems like a red state, blue state. Everyone's got their own side, when in reality, they've got most of the dirt related around this topic. And maybe that was their way of, you know, not only defending Biden, but also others. You know, and then we talked about this earlier, I think, was it off the air? Josh brought up the idea that maybe it's some of the rivals who want to get Biden and his.
Which maybe Josh wanted off the record and you just put it on the record. So
No, Rush Limbaugh.
I'm kidding.
That idea is straight from Rush Limbaugh. I did not create that.
Okay, yeah, well, so, yeah, I did not hear Rush say it. But I mean, Rush is pretty smart when it comes to these items, too. So, I mean, I don't know. I really don't fully get it. It's a very weird thing.
Weird.
And the fact is that. If it was a Republican, if Donald Trump had a had an opinion where he was on this side the entire time and massively switched in one day, which, by the way, happens quite often, they are first on board to try to figure out what the hell went down. Mm-hmm. They don't seem to be at all interested as to why Nancy Pelosi suddenly has switched on this topic. And I think it's still the most interesting piece of evidence that's outstanding.
Yeah, it really is. Pat, what do you think? Will impeachment backfire on them?
I hope so. I don't know.
Do you get worried because of the way that the mainstream media twists it their agenda?
They've got the media on their side.
Yeah.
So it's an uphill battle to make it backfire against them. But, you know, hopefully the American people will see through this and figure this out and that this is all about politics. Mm-hmm. And they don't, I really believe, they don't think they can beat him at the poll. And so they're trying to beat him this way.
Yeah. Yeah. Josh, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I wrote my column yesterday entitled "That Democrats' Impeachment Stunt Will Blow Up in Their Faces." I'm on record on this one. I see no world in which it can possibly help them. No way.
So go read Josh's op-ed, Democrats. What was it? What's the
Democrats' impeachment stunt will blow up in their faces. Very subtle.
We know where you stand.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit confused, but maybe you can tell me off air exactly where you stand. Go read that at the Daily Wire. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you guys Monday. Go Cowboys.
Boo.
Evil empire has arrived. Talking Star Wars.
Thanks for listening to the News and Why It Matters. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you'd like to watch the program, become a Blaze TV subscriber and start your free trial now at blazetv.com.